this week's message was Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And I broke this passage up into three main sections. The main point, number 1, found in verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Then he brings in an illustration in the following two verses. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he's living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. And he brings about the implications of this truth for us in verses 4 through 6. He says, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law. So we were once bound to the law, and our sin and the condemnation which is found in the law, the hopelessness which is found in the law, that we cannot earn our salvation. Rather, the law is brought in so that sin increases, as Romans 5 says, as it makes our sin known. But we were made to die to that law when we were saved in Christ Jesus. And that death takes place through the body of Christ, the text says. And this is such an incredible cost. We talked about the precious body of our Lord and Savior, causing John the Baptist to leap in the womb of his mother, the baby that was born in a stable, the young boy, the toddler fleeing to Egypt, the young boy trained as a carpenter, the young man awing by his speech as he was at the temple, the man who lovingly healed the sick and gave sight to the blind, the sorrowing man who wept at his friend's death and then rose him to life, Lazarus, the man who was in the garden in desperate agony on his knees before he went to the cross. This is the man, the body, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, fully God, fully man, who through him we could die to the law, his former master, so that we might be joined to another. And who is this that we would be joined to? To him who was raised from the dead, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with this purpose, in order that we might bear fruit for God. We believers would bear fruit. We talked about a tree that produces fruit, and this fruit is for the sole purpose of God's glory. We used a kind of a silly illustration. We said, you know, imagine if an apple tree was like a human and was able to walk around and plant itself. And you take this apple tree and it goes to Phoenix, Arizona, because it likes the heat. And it places itself in this dry, hot area with sandy soil and tries to plant itself there, and it's not producing fruit. So then it goes, well, it's too hot for me to produce fruit, so I'm going to go to Alaska. And it goes up to Alaska where it gets barely any sun, and it's cold, and it's in the snow, and it doesn't bear fruit there. Eventually, it settles in upstate New York, since we're in New York, and it gets the proper amount of sun, gets the proper nutrients from the soil, and gets watered. Then it will start producing fruit. And a lot of times in a believer's life, we starve ourselves of God's word. We don't partake in prayer. We don't. We quench the Spirit, and we wonder why we're not producing fruit. Well, we can clearly see the problem for this apple tree being planted in different and wrong areas. So we too should surround ourselves as a tree planted by the waters, as Psalm 1 talks about, next to the word of God and in Christ, in alongside with Christ, as we're united with him and be firmly rooted in him, as Colossians 2 talks about, and that we would be filling our lives with the word and allowing the Spirit to be at work and setting the stage for the Spirit to be at work in our lives and to bear fruit for God's glory. It says, for while we were in the flesh, verse 5, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. So before salvation, the fruit that we bear is leading to death as we were in the flesh. And in contrast to that, Paul brings in verse 6, but now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so that in newness of the Spirit, or so that we could serve in newness of the Spirit. Now we united in Christ do good works unto God by serving in a new way, in the newness of being in the Spirit. As we are indwelt by the Spirit, we're completely changed. Once alive to the master of sin who would kill us, now alive to Christ, a master who died for us to give us life, not in the oldness of the letter. Go back to verse 1 We see, wanted to break this down as it comes full circle. It says that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. This word jurisdiction comes from the word Lord. So when we are under the Lord, under the law, it had lordship, in a sense, mastery over us. It was dominated us. But we're put to death to the law and to our sin so that we can be united with Christ. This old lordship would put us to death. This new Lord, Jesus Christ, died for us to bring us to life. And this new life is to be evidenced by fruit for God's glory. Hope this helps clear up Romans chapter 7 for you and encourages you to live after Christ. If you're interested in being notified whenever these sermon summaries or podcasts are put on, please shoot an email to kvtbcny@gmail.com. Hope you have a wonderful day.